Okay. Back to work. Nah, it's never work when Dick Allgaier's here. He has been working hard. He's editing the intimate love letters of Hilo, Hattie, and Harry Owens, and the Royal Hawaiians.
It's a juicy story.
Well, all of them, yes. All there. How are you?
I'm better than I was. We'll get into that a little later. We had epic, historic surf on the South Shore this weekend. It was amazing. I usually the North Shore gets waves in the winter from the Aleutian Islands.
Yeah.
Big swells come down. So the North Shore is very well known for big waves.
Yeah.
The South Shore, what they call in town, which is the south side of the island where Honolulu is and Waikiki. You know, in the summer, sometimes you get 3 to 6 foot waves once in a while. But another one of those hurricanes came by and then they broke it up just south of the island. But it generated historic surf. So we had 25 foot waves and I was out. I wasn't out surfing and I couldn't go out in anything that big, but I was on a point, a place where you could get pretty close to them. And it was like you couldn't judge the size. They were so big, like just these sets would come in and all the spectators were like oohing and aahing. And then surfers would take off and you would realize how big they were because it was like triple, quadruple overhead of the surfers. Quite amazing.
Yeah, that's the okay. I couldn't measure, but the biggest wave I remember, I'm sure you've got me beat. I was blasting across the face of one. It was a big long line of incoming.
Yeah,
and I think I grabbed the second or third one anyway. It was a longboard, and I was just powering along through this thing. And I looked up. I turned my head and looked kind of backwards, and the top of the wave was, oh, hell, it was three feet at least above my head. And I was on the face of it about halfway down. So it was a big wave. And I rode it all the way. And got out of the water and went home. I said, that's as good as it gets.
I had the same experience, Jeff, that when you are on a wave, for you non-surfers, that is towering over your head, that gives you a charge. That's pretty scary. So I was out one day, and I knew it was pretty big, and I was outside. There's a surf break called Threes at Waikiki, and it was breaking way outside out there. And there were a lot of really good surfers, and I was out by myself. And I sat there, and these swells had come, and I chicken out. And I was like, God, I'm not going to ride these. They're too big. Oh, man, what am I going to do? So finally I saw one coming, and I said, well, no guts, no glory. And I got up on this wave. And it broke and kept going and then reformed. And I rode it all the way into the Royal Hawaiian Hotel. And I was screaming the whole way. Yeah! Yeah! Oh, wow!
That's funny.
I was just...
Yeah.
And I rode it up on the shore.
It took you all the way in. That's a long ride.
It took me all the way in. And what did the guy say? He said that, some beach boy saw me, and I said, oh, man, wasn't epic. What did he say? Oh, I can't remember. There was a term he had for it. I went, yeah, and I went home. So I rode one wave, but it was...
That's what I did.
My whole life.
No, that was it. I said, it does not get any better. And I went home.
Yeah. Well,
no
there
problem.
Was one day that I surfed at a break called Queens at Waikiki. And there was a photographer out, and it was glassy and 2 to 3 feet, just like shoulder high. And I was catching wave after wave. I must have caught 10, 15 waves, and this cameraman was getting pictures of me. And he recognized
me. You send me one. I have one. Beautiful glass. Really nice.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So, you know, a month ago, Jeff, I was laying in bed, and I just said, someday I'm going to go get in the, if I can go get in the ocean, that's my goal, is to be able to walk in the park and go in the ocean. I was, as you know, really, really, really sick. So we had to tell that story. That COVID, I don't give it a, I give it like a negative 5-star review.
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
No, for those of you who missed any of that, you're lucky. Dick, as I mentioned to another friend of ours, was at the door of death, and he was standing on the threshold, and he came back.
Ooh,
he was very
sick. I saw my obituary on the website. I saw my picture and I saw the dates, and I went, no, I'm not ready to go. So my wife got sick over Mother's Day, and she was like, oh, I feel like, oh, my God. And she had big fever, and she was in bed 3 days. And she said, I ache all over, my head ache, and she had bad fever and really bad. And I kind of took care of her. But after 4 days, she was up and around. And then I got it. I go, oh, man, I have what you have. That's really bad. I have a headache, and I'm achy, and I was in bed for about 3 days. And then I thought, oh, I'm over it. And I went swimming, did my normal workout.
I remember. I remember exactly.
I was, hey, Jeff, the Allison C worked, man. I kicked that out. I'm doing great. I was out running, you know, walking and doing yoga for about 3 days. And then it hit me really bad. As you know, I mean, I woke up, I was having...
Well, you were hallucinating. You were that sick.
I was delirious. They say that about COVID, that it makes your mind go. I was just, I apparently was waving my arms and talking while I was unconscious. And splitting headache, felt like somebody took a baseball, aluminum bat and hit me on all my joints and the back of my neck and all over my body. Oh, God, just... And then Mimi said, you got to go hospital. I go, no, I don't go hospital. They're there. Yeah. And so she took me to the urgent care, and they wheeled me in, and they did a COVID test. They said, no, you're negative. And they gave me an IV with some anti-inflammatory and gave me some fluid and then sent me home. And then Mimi... A couple days later, she was sobbing on my chest. Oh, I'm afraid I'm going to lose you. Don't die. You know, and I'm like, And then I woke up and there were paramedics in the bedroom. And I go, yeah, and I was so delirious. These two Asian guys, a little overweight, beefy, and they looked like twins. They looked identical. And they were talking to each other and like and this and that. And it was just so out of place to see these two. They had white shirts with emblems, you know, and the EMS patch and all this name tags and stuff.
In your bedroom. Like,
yeah, in my bedroom and talking to me, and they said, well, okay, we got to get you on the gurney. And I said, I need pants. Like, I'll need my wallet, you know, like, let me get a better shirt. Go, no, sir, we're in a hurry here. And so I get wheeled out, and I'm in the back of this ambulance. And they're talking, and I don't understand what's going on, but they're putting, like, oxygen in my nose and taping electrodes to my chest and doing all this medical stuff. And then they go, okay, let's go. And one guy, I hear this, I'm in a cocoon, and there's this siren outside. And then I was like, I don't know if ambulances have windows, but I could see the whole thing. I was, like, looking at it from a third party point of view, like, wow, this thing is just tearing down the freeway, and look, we're passing all these cars, and there's the overpass, and oh, I know that we're at, like, you know, Hoftailing Street, and And boy, we're going to get there like 3 minutes to this 15-minute ride to a hospital in rush hour. And then I'm there and this really nasty nurse came in with one of those swabs about 8 inches long.
Yeah.
And I go, you're not putting that in my nose. No, not in my nose. She goes, I've got to do this test. I said, swab my cheek or so. She goes, no. She grabbed my head and she forced it up and went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to my brain. I'm like, oh no, I was never going to let them do that. And then she did the other side and it really hurt. It, whatever's on that, it stings. It's like,
that sounds like she enjoyed that.
Yeah, she was just having fun. So then I'm laying there and I'm moaning and nah, 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 and the doctor comes in and goes, are you vaccinated?
No. Yeah, I remember this.
And that's
are
it.
Are you vaccinated?
The doctor, I can read people because of my remote viewing. He just switched off. He just went.
Yeah.
He had nothing more to do with me. He said, okay, that's it. And, closed up his computer and walked out. And the next thing I knew, they wheeled me out on the curb. And here I am with 105-degree fever, so weak. They just put me on the curb. And Mimi came and found me. And
they actually put you out there in a wheelchair and just left you alone without making contact with Mimi?
No, I guess I told Mimi I said, where's my wife? She'll get you. She's coming. And then they left. So I'm out there, and then Mimi helped me into the back of the car. I laid down in the back of the car and then got home. And a couple weeks later, I got up. But, Jeff, I took Allicin C. I took vitamin C, vitamin D, shaga, mushroom tea, all the, big vitamin D, probably too much vitamin D, ivermectin. Tylenol, aspirin. That's like spitting in the face of a hurricane. That thing was that's a bioweapon. It was like something attached to my body, sucking the energy out of me. One day I woke up about a week into it and I looked down and I went, oh, it's not on the outside of me, it's on the inside. I had some real delirious. Anyway, but I'm stronger. I've been very weak, as you know.
Yeah.
I think that's designed to kill men, men over 65. I think it's designed to take them out. I really do. Thank you for your concern. I know you were calling Mimi, and she was giving people updates.
Hell, I called every hospital in Honolulu looking for you.
Yeah. I appreciate your concern. If I hadn't had my wife taking care of me, I wouldn't have made it. There was one night when I first had it, she was working and I'd been in bed all day and she works, a day shift at the restaurant, for lunch, then takes a nap, then works till about 9:30. So I got to eat and I thought, what can I eat? I don't want anything. I'll boil some macaroni and put my tomato sauce, my spaghetti sauce over. So waiting just however long it took to boil the water, I was so exhausted. I took one bite and just Mimi came, look, you didn't eat. I go, no, I didn't eat for days. I lost so much weight. There was one time I looked at myself in the mirror after 2 weeks. I hadn't seen myself in it. Oh, God, that's a dead man. But anyway, people don't want to hear my sad story. But
it's important. It's important. It's important to give hope to people who are very sick, just as long as you don't get remdesivir.
Yeah.
And it's best not to be in a hospital. They just want you hydrated and make sure you get some nutrition if you can take it. You can do that at home if you've got home support. But hospitals are not good. And I've got too many stories. You all have heard them.
Yeah. Mimi was making celery juice, organic celery, juicing it with a little apple and a little lime juice. And I was drinking that to stay hydrated. And she made me drink water, and she was making soup. But I really didn't eat for a while. Finally, I was talking to Harry Cooper because he went through this. He was in the hospital. He had it, and he had a secondary infection. Oh, Mimi.
I almost got him thrown out of the hospital.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah. Well, you're an advocate for all of your friends.
I know. Yeah.
They don't want to be told.
No. I said, he was in ICU. I said, give the phone to a nurse. And I said, not, under any circumstance, give that man remdesivir. Do you hear me? And that scared her. I got a nice
one. So my wife was telling him that, but English is their second language, Korean. So for a Korean to say remdesivir, she's so cute. But I heard her saying, he doesn't want remdesivir. But the best part, okay, so I got to get to the good part of the story, the really inspiring part. But first I got to talk about Harry Cooper. So Harry Cooper went through this, so I would call Harry, I'm so sick. He goes, yeah, I've been there. I lost 25 pounds or 30 pounds. I go, yeah, I'm losing weight. He goes, yeah, it's going to be slow. You're going to get up and you won't feel like doing anything. And then pretty soon you'll be back to work. And I go, please, I hope so. I haven't been out of bed. And he goes, yeah, I went through that. I'm back to myself. So I would call him every couple days and get encouragement.
Irascible.
Yeah.
Irascible Harry. Yeah.
So the best part was I actually have some people around the world that follow me because of remote viewing and the crypto viewing. Word went out. And there were a number of groups that were doing healing work in unison. And so one night, about this time of night, maybe about an hour later, I was laying there in such pain and just, moaning and just, and in and out of consciousness. And all of a sudden, somebody touched my right arm, my right forearm. And I thought, Mimi's here. And I looked, she wasn't. I go, it feels like somebody's touching me. And then I felt like warming energy inside my body, like shifting stuff around, and I went, it feels like somebody's doing healing energy on me. And I talked to the people at CryptoView, and they said, yeah, we had a session last night at that time. I said, I can feel it. Tell them to do it again. So there were people around the world giving me, I don't know, Reiki, prayers, healing energy,
all energy,
all kinds of
energy, and it works. It can work. Yes. Yes.
But I just didn't have one or two people. I think I had. There's a guy that I do YouTube videos. There's a guy in Canada named Jean-Claude, and he has a big subscriber base. So he has healing people. So all these people around the world were doing this. And, Jeff, I could feel it, and it pulled me back. They may have saved me.
I believe that.
It was beautiful. It was so awesome to be on the receiving end of that. I was always rather skeptical of that, even though I'm a remote viewer. Like, how can you? But it does work.
Thoughts are energy. Sure they are.
Can you
imagine? They don't. There's no time. Distance involved. It's now. Go ahead.
I'd hate to imagine the opposite of that, like a bunch of people that hate you, that wish you harm and put bad.
Well, there's a lot to be talked about. Voodoo and witchcraft, so whatever.
I'm getting back. I'm about 50%. I swam about how many meters? I swam half a kilometer today.
Good job.
Yeah, I swam about 800 meters. It was ugly coming back. I mean, I was very tired, but. Yeah, slowly but surely.
That's as close to dying as you're going to get, friend. Seriously.
I've done three sessions. This is my fourth session on either Zoom or video today. I'm a little tired, but I have a really interesting segment to tell you about. I'll let your listeners in on it. It's, you know who David Dubyne is? Adapt 2030?
Yes, you told me about him. I think you sent me a video of him.
Yeah, very, very smart guy.
Yeah.
I need a sip of something. Hold on. I found the best drink. I should market this. I'm not drinking my nightly beer. That's one good thing. Over COVID, I quit drinking. But you take a little bit of Bragg's apple cider vinegar,
mm-hmm.
two tablespoons, a little bit of honey, like a teaspoon of honey or mm-hmm. some sweet, and then a little bit of vanilla extract and mix that. And then you put soda water, like I put Perrier over it, and mix that up. It's the most delicious soft drink. And all you're having is apple cider vinegar, which is good for you, the honey, which is not vegan sugar, but, and then the vanilla extract. It's really, really good. I'll send all the ingredients to you, and I'll make you do the recipe. So I'm drinking.
Yeah,
so
anyway, I'd like to try it. I would. It's
very refreshing. It's good because I'm used to drinking a beer with dinner, and I'm not doing that anymore. That's good. So we have this big project at Crypto Viewing. We were given a blind target 2 weeks ago, and I hadn't remote viewed in a month, and I was like, oh God, I don't know if I can still do this. I did one practice target, a crypto target? I did something, and it was like, oh yeah, I got some data. And then there was this big project. So all they gave us was the target ID, like A1, B2, P3, C9, you know. I don't know who this is or what it is. And I'm still really tired. And I go, God, I don't know. So I did a session, and I didn't like it. I didn't feel like I had any target. I felt like I was making it up. I really didn't feel the connection. And I sent it in, and the person who submitted the target to me, I didn't know who it was for, but there's a go-between said, I don't know, that maybe not. So I thought, okay, I'm going to start again. So I did some more work over a couple days, and I sent it in, and they said, it'll be a really interesting debrief. Good to have you back. So I go, okay, I must have got some. So we found out who the target was for. It was for David Dubine, and the target was the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the Chicago Board of Trade, on September 16th of this year, 2022. And all four viewers had very dire data. And we've had two debriefs, you know, like analysis with David. I just did an hour with him and with a guy that knows about commodity trading. And Dubine apparently has a contact. Here's the deal. Corn futures. How to explain this? They do leverage trading. Like there's all these, every day there's 100,000 contracts on the price of corn on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
Futures.
Yeah, futures. Right. Only 2% of those contracts are ever really does anybody take delivery for the real corn? So 98% of it is just leverage futures paper stuff that people making money off of, like a casino. 2% of them, the corn is delivered. Well, we got wind that there are some what they call pirate traders that are going to demand 15% of the contracts be filled. Like, okay, give me the corn. And there's not enough corn in the U.S. on a good harvest to fill those. So we're looking at a scenario that could be a train wreck for the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, because there's 95% leverage and all these clearing forms. If they can't close their contracts, they get fined $250,000 per day per contract, and some of them can have a maximum of 600 contracts per day. So there could be this runaway, meltdown. And on top of that, fertilizer prices are going up. There are shortages of equipment. Equipment mm-hmm. is breaking down and can't be replaced. Mm-hmm. The fuel costs are going up. So there's this perfect storm coming mm-hmm. in September. And if the Chicago corn futures market blows up, that could blow every – silver's the same way. Wheat, soybeans, coffee, everything. So it might – it could be this contagion. And the data we had, like I saw – I said it was the New York Stock Exchange. I said there's this trading floor that they do stuff with computers, and there's boards, and I see that it has symbols, and then I see it go way up and way down, and I actually had a physical feeling of like a roller coaster, like, oh, you're going up, it's pressing you down, and oh, you're weightless, like, oh, it's plummeting.
Uh-huh.
And I had a visceral feel for how wild this is going to be. So,
well, the question I would have is, this is September 16th?
Yeah.
October, November. That's about 2 months before someone forecast that Putin would have finally had enough and would have to act in November. Before... The day before Thanksgiving. Somebody said that.
We have a source in a military of another country. That's all I can say. But yeah. My guy that has that source called me today and said, oh, I just heard from my guy. The military, and who has usually good information, said Putin has decided to really ramp things up. He's going to pull out all the stops and really escalate.
That was announced yesterday, just FYI. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He said, full-on attack on every front. We're done. Non-nuclear at this point.
Yeah.
But the other forecast was for a nuclear... The problem with a nuclear war, the problems of nuclear wars are obvious. Obvious. I won't even elaborate, but... It is not at all impossible that a false flag nuke could be set off on a medium-sized American city and blamed on Russia, Iran, anybody. And who's going to know? Nobody's going to know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if Putin somehow holds his diplomatic stance in the face of this unbelievable abuse that's going on, West against Russia, there could be a false flag needed to ignite a nuclear war, which I think is in the cards. I think the war is in the cards. How it starts, I don't know.
That's what I've heard, is that it's expected to spread. Okay, well, here's one for you, Jeff. In the 20th century, think back, we had World War One. And how many died? 30, 40 million?
Oh,
I mean, they were
too
just
many.
Mowing the young
yeah.
men down.
Yeah.
We had a pandemic. The Spanish flu killed, they don't know, 10 to 40 million.
Came from Fort Riley, Kansas, wasn't it?
I think so.
That's where it came from.
We had a president who was incapacitated. Woodrow Wilson had a major stroke and was drooling, couldn't function, and his staff and his wife covered up for him. We had the stock market collapse.
Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it?
The Great Depression. Then another mm-hmm. World War, and then the Dust Bowl. And what we're having now is all those things. We're going to have this world. It's going to spread to a world war. We have the pandemic. We have an incapacitated president that they're covering up for. A financial collapse. And the drought. Is it hot where you are?
It has been. We've been up in the high 90s, low triples, very low.
The runway is melting in London.
Right? Yeah, I saw that. That's the asphalt, the macadam, as they call it.
Our runways aren't made out of asphalt, are they? They've got to be made out of
concrete. Well, the concrete doesn't melt. Asphalt will. I think the aprons and things are asphalt, and not the main landing strip, but I think there's a lot of asphalt used.
Yeah.
On aprons.
Well,
I don't think it's all poured concrete.
Oh, yeah. It's hot. People are dying.
And
so
they're right. Go ahead.
This confluence of events, like all this. And I think people are starting to realize, some of us, it's being done on purpose.
Yeah. You think?
Well, we know. I mean, we've known that for a long time. But does the average the average human?
No, they don't have a clue.
Yeah.
I'd say, I'm not being arrogant here, please, but I'd say that 85% of the rank and file really don't want to go there, even if they had an idea something was being contrived. But as we know, everything, and you have friends, and I'm privileged to know some of those people. It's all planned. It's all by the book. It's all by the plan. Nothing is left to happenstance. No coincidences. It's all by the plan. You told me that a long time ago.
Well, I've been told the events that are happening now, I was told about 4 or 5 years ago. So I'm watching them unfold, and I'm realizing that my sources are, they knew.
Well, I was a couple years behind you, but it's been at least 3 years, three and a half, since I was told by you and whatever. And everything
and
is happening.
Some of these people are telling me, well, Dick, how do you think I feel? I knew about it 10, 20 years ago.
Wow. When you look back now, you can see it. I knew when the Clintons, when I started this program in 1994, where the program is now in its 29th year of service, I knew that things were going down and would never come back. I didn't know how. I didn't know how fast, but I knew the Clintons were evil. And that's not to give George H.W. Bush a pass by any means. I'm not. But it became so openly manifest to me in the mid-90s with what the Clintons were up to and all the debauchery and sex and all that, that this was, it's going down. And they needed more time, and they put Trump in there, and I think they delayed for some reason.
Well, I'll tell you the real story. I was told this last week, and was told that I could be told about it because it's come out in public. So nothing. I don't know any secrets. I'm not told any real secrets. But the U.S. was bankrupt in 1999. Right now, the entire planet is bankrupt. Every country is bankrupt. The U.S. went into insolvency in 1999, and they knew that it was done. It was toast. The financial system was gone.
Well, that was the program that we did with another person.
Yeah.
All about this.
Yeah, but that's available on, okay, I'll plug CryptoView. Patreon.com/CryptoViewing, and you can hear these. Jeff did a segment with us, one that we can't put out over the radio or on the internet. It's private only, but patreon.com/CryptoViewing, you buy a membership. And you can,
is it there?
Yeah, it is at the founder level. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Wow.
Oh yeah, we published that, and we've been publishing a lot more. So I'll give your listeners the public elevator version. America, the United States, was bankrupt in 1999, and they knew they were going to switch over to this new system, which is distributed ledger computer. Everybody with a digital ID and not paper money anymore is going to be digital money. But they didn't have that ready. They didn't get the new system. They knew it was going to be 20 years before it was ready to roll out, but the bankruptcy already happened. So they needed a 20-year buffer period. So they've just been making it up, money out of nothing. It's just, you know, when
national debt is $30 trillion now. So you bet.
Yeah, Wile E. Coyote runs off the cliff, and he's hanging in midair, and he looks around, and that's what we've been doing for 20 years, and now we realize that we're in midair, and then going to fall. So they needed the technology of handheld mobile cell phone devices with enough computing power to handle the cryptocurrency and your digital identity and all the transactions on the blockchain to have money be on your smartphone. And now we're there, and they're going to switch it over. So they're going to turn off the old system. And believe us now or believe us later. Well, 2025.
Yeah, you're right in line with Deagle. Deagle.com, January 1st, 2025. He put those numbers out there, and what the hell was it, 2013? Or no, it was before that. And I didn't see it till 2017, but the numbers are apparently in sight. People are dying here all over the place, and it's not being pushed in the news.
Yeah,
not being talked about, so it doesn't exist for most people.
Back to the Chicago grain market. One more thing, point that I didn't put out. In Kansas, they usually get between 20. No, the average output of wheat on an acre is 52 to 60 bushels. That's average, 52 to 60. This year, they're averaging 20 to 30. So there's half as much wheat. 10% of the farms have zero output. So the prices are, they're not making tractors. They can't get parts for them. The fuel is going up.
Right.
The land is, you know, with the heat, the land is not producing. We're going to have food shortages. I'm to the point, Jeff, I've got some storable food, and I got lots of cans of beans, and I've got rice. I think I'm going to get one of those, a year or two supply of freeze-dried, even if it has meat and chicken and cheese, which I don't normally eat. But I think if you're starving, I'd probably eat that stuff.
You would. Where would you go to get it? Costco?
Numana. Numana, or there's Patriot Supply. I'm just going to buy a few buckets.
Four Patriots. And they have a really outstanding solar unit. It's about $3,200, $3,300. It's terrific, and that's on my list. I hope to be able to get it.
Well, here's what I'm doing right now. Is the Hawaiian Electric. This is happening all over the world. We have a coal-fired plant out on the west side Oahu, and they have a pile of coal, and they make electricity, and it's clean burning coal, and it's cheap. And our brilliant Democrat
communist
legislature passed a law that that thing has to be offline by September 1st, 2022. So in 6 weeks, the coal-fired plant goes offline here, and we're expecting rolling blackouts because there's no, they don't have the
wind. Where else do you don't have a nuclear power plant. Where else do you get your energy?
Well, there's some oil. There's some renewable, but mostly oil. But the oil is going to cost more. And 10% loss at the hottest time of the year when people are using the air conditioners. I'm in a condominium. I don't want to be in a hot box. You know, it can be 90 degrees, 95 degrees, and 80% humidity. So I cleaned everything off my balcony, and I bought 3 solar generators. You know, those little, it's not like one you put on your roof. It's one that's, it's portable.
I understand.
It's got a little
wheel. Portable.
And then
Yeah.
So I got 3 of those, and hopefully I can be able to run my fan. But I'm getting ready for this. You know, there's that September date again. It's going to be an interesting few months, man. I really think it is.
I don't think there's any doubt. I just wonder how much longer we keep sending these HIMARS units over there. I think they've got, the Ukes have 12 of them now, and they're really causing the Russians some frontline problems. Very accurate multiple rocket launchers.
Yeah.
And this is not going to go away. It's just
no,
not.
It's not going to go away. It's going to expand. I know people in the know who left Europe.
Yes.
Let's say you were in Germany.
Yeah.
And you know what's happening, and you have family, and you don't want their family to be occupied by the Russians. So you leave. Poland can't accept any more Ukrainian refugees, so Austria is now accepting them. And when they come in, each person gets $1,000 a month, everybody in the family.
more invisible money.
Geez. And, you know, I was watching on the news, and they have these just long lines of hundreds of migrants on the southern border coming across the Rio Grande. Like, what if they just build a pedestrian walkway so they don't have to go through that farce of wading chest deep in water?
Like, well, I don't know.
I mean, why did these people have to wade through this water? Let's just build a little bridge for them. Let them walk.
I think it was the mayor of Washington, D.C., who's always proclaimed D.C. as an open, what is it? A refuge city.
Yeah.
And now they're busing and flying in these wetbacks. And all of a sudden, the mayor is not happy.
She said, their final destination is they're meant to be going to other destinations. Like she admitted that they're sending him to St. Paul, Minnesota, and Virginia, you know, Montana.
Yes. Yeah.
Rural Missouri. But she says, but why bring them here? We don't need them here because they're supposed to be going someplace else. You know, they're scheduled to go to the other town. We don't want them here.
And so it looks like Trump. Yes. It looks like Trump's going to run. He put out a letter on his murdered ex-wife and saying some nice things. But at the bottom of the letter, I'm told, I read it, I didn't see the letter, there was a big donate button.
Oh.
And now Kristi Noem, the conservative governor of South Dakota, has announced that she's on the road. She's going to Iowa. What the hell was it? New Hampshire?
Yeah.
North Carolina, I think. The first 3 primaries.
She's had the full makeover. If you see her on TV, she's had her cosmetic surgery and her hair dyed.
Oh, yes.
She's not a bad-looking woman, but Yeah, she's had.
It's all about telegenics. Come on, we know that.
And did you see that despicable? Oh, I mean, Gavin Newsom went to the White House, and now he's taking out ads in Florida. Can any sentient human being not look at him and realize that he is just a mannequin of fraud? There's not a genuine thing about the guy.
And not to mention a nephew of Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, is he?
Yes. He's her nephew.
All in the family. Oh, it's all in the family. Yeah, yeah, the bloodlines. I didn't know that.
He told the White House today he's not running in 2024.
Oh,
that's what he says anyway.
Oh, he is. How long are they going to keep Biden in there?
I don't know. There was another story yesterday about how Jill was medicating him with some kind of pharmacia that made him functional. And she's a very, very unhappy woman. Look at the crime. Look at Hunter Biden. Look at the criminality. Joe is the creeper is just as bad as Hunter over a longer period of time.
I think they'll keep trotting him out and medicating him and planting seeds of doubt until the November election, and then after the midterm they'll drop the hammer due to Hunter Biden or his senility. But he
can't function.
He's fading fast.
No, another doctor said they can't keep bringing back the dead. Doesn't work. He's got to go. So it'll be Trump and possibly Noam against. You know who I think may run?
You don't think DeSantis? I think DeSantis.
Well, it could be Trump and DeSantis then. But Kristi Noem is trial ballooning it. They're putting her out. DeSantis and Noem? Well, Trump said he's made up his mind. But he had a big donate button on the bottom of the requiem for his ex-wife, who was obviously beaten to death and thrown down the stairs.
Will we have an election?
That's where I was going with this. I don't have an answer. I don't know. I really don't.
Things are happening fast. I was, I did several remote viewings on like the death of the dollar and some other we've been doing private targets at crypto viewing to try to identify, what's going to unfold, like what's happening with the dollar and what's going to happen geopolitically and, even with Earth changes. In couple of our sessions, we saw this comet. We said there's a comet that's going to be the harbinger of the changes, that when the comet comes, that's when it goes. And we published that early 2019. So I was working on my computer Saturday, and I got a call from a mutual friend, and he said, "Dick, I just sent you a link. You got to look." And I looked, it was a YouTube live image of this comet that just raced through the solar system and is going by Earth. And it was one of the fastest ones, like, oh, here it is. All of a sudden, there's this comet. And I was told that the astrological charts show that this is the most fortuitous time to end one project and start another. And the people that run this world, they do things by the stars. If you are...
No joke.
If you are in a star, it's a fortuitous time. And if you are in dis-a-star, it is a disaster. So they really do... The planetary alignments, the celestial alignments are very important. And this comet just came racing through. And I had seen that in remote viewing. It's on my YouTube. I need people. This is free. Doesn't cost anything. Go to YouTube and type in for the channel name Crypto, CRYPTO, second word viewing. two words, crypto viewing, and that's my YouTube channel. You can hear a lot about what we're talking about. So, there you have it.
Well, it seems like old times to have you back.
Jeff, I'm so glad to be talking to you, and it was a close one. That really was a traumatic experience for me. I faced my mortality for the first time.
Scared the hell out of me. And I've been scared before.
My wife, too. I heard she was hysterical talking to people.
Yeah, but no, never out of control. So, her heart was breaking. She was, oh my God, she was. Grief is a fair word.
But I made it through. We're going to be all right. But
yes, sir.
Folks, you might want to start preparing. Things are looking a little bleak. I don't want to be a doom, the world.
Reality is reality. It's okay.
It is what it is. All right, Jeff.
All right. Good night, Richard.
Talk with you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Aloha. Say hi to Mimi.
I will.
Okay. All right, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow night, Tuesday. Take good care and do prepare.